ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Today we are reading from Canto 1, Chapter 11. Chapter 11 is entitled Lord Krishna's Entrance into Dwarka. And today we are reading text 7.
Bhavayanasvam bhava vishva bhavana.
Bhavayanasvam bhava vishva bhavana.
Bhavayanasvam bhava vishva bhavana.
Tvameva matata sura pati pita.
Tvameva matata sura pati pita.
Tvam sadgururna parama cha daivatam.
Tvam sadgururna paramam cha daivatam.
Yasyanu vrittya kritino babhuvima.
Yasyanu vrittya kritino babhuvima.
Bhavayanasvam bhava vishva bhavana.
Bhavayanasvam bhava vishva bhavana.
Tvameva matata surit pati pita. Tvam sadgururna paramam cha daivatam. Yasyanu vrittya kritino babhuvima. Bhavayanasvam bhava vishva bhavana.
Bhavayanasvam bhava vishva bhavana.
Tvam eva matata surit pati pita. Tvam sadgururna paramam cha daivatam. Yasyanu vrittya kritino babhuvima. Bhavaya.
Bhavaya.
For welfare.
For welfare.
Na.
Na.
For us.
For us.
Tvam.
Tvam.
Your lordship.
Your lordship.
Bhava.
Bhava.
Just become.
Just become.
Vishva Bhavana.
Vishva Bhavana.
The creator of the universe.
The creator of the universe.
Tvam.
Tvam.
Your lordship.
Your lordship.
Eva.
Eva.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Mata.
Mata.
Mother.
Mother.
Atha.
Atha.
As also.
As also.
Suhrit.
Well
wisher.
Well wisher.
Pati.
Pati.
Husband.
Husband.
Pita.
Pita.
Father.
Father.
Tvam.
Tvam.
Your lordship.
Your lordship.
Satguru.
Satguru.
Spiritual Master.
Spiritual Master.
Na.
Na.
Ava.
Paramam.
Paramam.
The Supreme.
Cha.
Cha.
And. Daivatam.
Worshipable Deity.
Yasya.
Yasya.
Whose.
Anuvritya.
Following in the footsteps.
Kritina.
Successful.
Babhuvima.
We have become. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. O Creator of the universe, you are our mother, well-wisher, Lord, Father, spiritual master and worshipable deity. By following in your footsteps, we have become successful in every respect. We pray therefore that you continue to bless us with your mercy. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The all-good personality of Godhead, being the Creator of the universe, also plans for the good of all good living beings. The good living beings are advised by the Lord to follow His good advice, and by doing so, they become successful in all spheres of life. There is no need to worship any deity but the Lord. The Lord is all-powerful, and if He is satisfied by our obedience unto His lotus feet, He is competent to bestow upon us all kinds of blessings for the successful execution of both our material and spiritual lives. For attaining spiritual existence, the human form is a chance for all to understand our eternal relation with God. Our relation with Him is eternal. It can neither be broken nor vanquished. It may be forgotten for the time being, but it can be revived. Also by the grace of the Lord, if we follow His injunctions, which are revealed in the scriptures of all times and all places. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahayam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Virim Yatripatamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Vancha Kalpataru Yascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patidanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So in this chapter, the Lord is returning to Dwarka. He has had a long stint at Hastinapur. He fought alongside the Pandavas and he helped the Pandavas regain their lost kingdom. So he had spent a long time away from Dwarka and now he is returning to Dwarka. And because there was a long separation from the Lord, the residents of Dwarka, who are all his eternal associates, they are rushing towards the gate where the Lord is just entering to receive the Lord in various ways. In fact, in the previous verses we saw that the residents of Dwarka had arranged, decorated the whole city very nicely. They had put so many unbroken pots of yogurt and so many unbroken fruits, and the streets had been sweeped. There was nice fragrant water sprinkled on the streets. So some elements of Vedic reception had been given in the Bhagavatam. However, when a great personality arrives, and here we are not talking of an ordinary personality, it's the Supreme Lord coming back. So how one should receive when a great personality arrives. So they had arranged the whole city, they had decorated the whole city in a festive way just to receive the Lord. And now they themselves are rushing forward to receive the Lord, and also now they have started speaking sweet words. They have started offering prayers to the Lord. They have started glorifying the Lord. This is one more element of Vedic reception. Whenever any guest comes to our house, we first give them nice paraphernalia. We welcome them with some argya, some worship articles, and then we give them a nice place to sit and we offer sweet words to that person. So like His Holiness Devamrit Maharaj was expressing yesterday in the class, that whenever there is a great personality, we need to respect, or whenever there is a great personality, we need to worship. Then things should be very meticulously organized for that person. And he was talking about Srila Prabhupada's appearance day, which he attended in one of the temples. So he said, any last minute preparations which are done, or any last minute things which are thrown up for that personality, actually show a lack of respect, and that is not etiquette to treat that personality like that. But we see here that the residents of Dwarka have very meticulously arranged this entire reception for the Lord, because they have great awe and reverence for the Lord, and they love the Lord so much, and they have felt so much separation from the Lord. So everything has been so nicely arranged, and from last verse, the residents have now started offering very choice poetry, very choice prayers to the Lord to receive Him with sweet words. So in this verse, the residents are offering prayers by saying that, by following in your footsteps, O my Lord, we have achieved success in every sphere of our life. And Srila Prabhupada also mentions in the purport, Prabhupada says that the Lord plans all good for all living beings, and if we execute the plan of the Lord, and if we follow in the footsteps of the Lord, then there will be all success in our life. Prabhupada says also that if the Lord is satisfied by our obedience unto His lotus feet, then He will bestow all kinds of blessings for the successful execution of our spiritual as well as material endeavors in this life. So not only does the Lord satisfy our spiritual desires when we obey His instructions, He also satisfies the material desires. He also ensures that there is material prosperity for a person, for a good human being who is following His advice. So at every step of the Bhagavatam, we see that the Lord is revealing this through His prayers, through the prayers of His devotees, that how human form of life is meant to follow His advice, and how this human form of life is meant so that we follow in the footsteps of the Lord and we become successful. In the 6th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when Yamaraj is instructing his messengers after the Ajamil pastime, Yamaraj tells his messengers, he says, Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam, na vai vidu rishayo naapi devaha, na siddha mukhya asura manushya, kuto na vidyadhara charanadaya. So there Yamaraj tells, Yamaraj who himself is a Mahajan, he tells his messengers, he tells the Yamadutas, he says that instructions given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead actually constitute dharma for the living entity. So that is why there is so much of importance given to obey the instructions of the Lord, because that is the real religion, that is the real dharma for a living entity. And any person who has a human form of life, his main duty, if he wants to advance in his life, his main duty is to follow these instructions which the Lord has given in various scriptures, which the Lord has Himself spoken, which the Lord has given through His representatives. So that is the duty of a human form of life, to follow the instructions, because the instructions of the Lord constitute real dharma. It's just like when we buy an appliance. If we go to the market tomorrow and we buy an appliance and come, for example, we buy a sandwich toaster, or we buy a microwave, or we buy a kettle, every appliance comes with an instruction manual. And if we have to understand how to operate that appliance, we need to read the instruction manual. And especially with, you know, today's technology being so highly advanced, if we start experimenting ourselves after we bought, let's say, a very complicated iPad or, you know, something like that, and we start operating it ourselves without reading the instruction manual, then we are going to create havoc with that appliance, and we may not be able to get the best outcome of that appliance. So similarly, this appliance of human form of life has been given by the Lord to us, and the instruction manual for this human form of life are the instructions which have been given by the Lord Himself in the revealed scriptures. So to operate this human form of life nicely, we have to follow that instruction manual. One has to obey the instructions of the Lord so that one can achieve success and one can operate this human form of life properly, or one can achieve the goal which this human form of life is meant to give a person. So once, that is the meaning of the word disciple actually. Disciple means discipline or obedience. To obey the instructions of the Lord and to obey the instructions of His empowered representative. That is the meaning of the word disciple as well. And once a disciple asked Srila Prabhupada, he actually had lectured on the different rasas in the spiritual world, like how there is Vatsalya Bhav, Madhurya Bhav, there is Sakya Ras, all these rasas Prabhupada had explained about. And then a disciple asked Srila Prabhupada, he said, Prabhupada, can a disciple enter into a higher rasa with his spiritual master? And Prabhupada said that between a guru and the disciple, there is only one rasa, which is of the master and the servant. So the duty of the disciple is to follow the orders of his master, and by doing this, by following the orders of this master, if he does this fully surrendered and if he does this meticulously, then there will be empowerment for the disciple. So just by obedience to the Lord and by obedience to the instructions of the spiritual master, one can achieve empowerment to do various great things in life. Now there are few other reasons why one must obey the instructions of the Lord. So one reason why one must obey the instructions of the Lord, or why this obedience is good for human form of life, is that following the instructions of the Lord can give the ultimate benefit to the human being. And what is the ultimate benefit for all human beings? It is to get out of this cycle of birth and death. So that is what the obedience to the instructions of the Lord can give us. Like the residents of Dwarka are saying here, that they have become successful in every sphere of life. And the greatest success for the human form of life is to actually come out of this cycle of birth and death and to go back home, back to Godhead. And in this regard, there is a very nice conversation which is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the Vamandev pastime. So after Vamandev has acquired the 3 steps of land from Bali Maharaj, and Bali Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj also comes over there on the scene to glorify Vamandev. And Vamandev tells Bali Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj both to go to Sutal Loka, where they will be reigning for many years to come with Vamandev personally present as their doorkeeper. So after Prahlad Maharaj and Bali Maharaj have departed to Sutal Loka, Vamandev does not immediately leave. He actually has a conversation with Bali Maharaj's guru, Shukracharya, who was actually trying to stop Bali Maharaj from donating the 3 steps of land to Lord Vamandev. So at that time he asks Shukracharya, he says that what is it that went wrong? What was the discrepancy or what was the fault in Bali Maharaj's sacrifice that he had to face this consequence, and also he had to face the consequence of being cursed by you? Because when Bali Maharaj does not listen to Shukracharya, Shukracharya actually curses him that you will lose all your opulence because you are not listening to me. But still Bali Maharaj goes ahead, because Bali Maharaj is a Mahajan and he knew what is the duty for a person to do when the Lord himself is asking for something. So Vamandev asked Shukracharya. Now Shukracharya, we know, was a pakka karmakandiya brahmin. He was not a devotee of the Lord. He was completely into fruitive activities. He was completely into karmakanda. And his whole purpose of life was how to, you know, get more opulence for Bali Maharaj, with the underlying purpose that how his dakshinas will keep coming. Like Maharaj was mentioning this, Devamrit Maharaj was mentioning this in the home program also yesterday, which he did. That Shukracharya was just interested in how his donation should not stop. And that was his purpose in telling Bali Maharaj that don't give away all your opulence to this dwarf Brahmin. He is none other than Vishnu and he will take everything away from you. But still Bali Maharaj went ahead and he did not listen to Shukracharya. So now Vamandev is asking Shukracharya that what was the fault or what was the discrepancy in Bali Maharaj's sacrifice? Can you please express to me in front of all these assembled Brahmanas? And that time Shukracharya replies. In 3 verses he gives the answer to Lord Vamandev. The first verse he says that, my Lord, you are actually Karmeshwara. You are Karmeshwara and you are Yagneshwara. So you are the Ishwara of all Karmakandiya sacrifice. Whether one is doing it for material opulence or whether one is doing it for long life, any Karmakanda activity, ultimately you are the beneficiary. You are the Karmeshwara of all the Karmakanda sacrifices. And you are also Yagneshwara. We see in the Bhagavad Gita also Krishna says that he is Yagneshwara, that by all sacrifices Lord Krishna is to be satisfied. So Shukracharya says that when the Karmeshwara and the Yagneshwara is personally present in this sacrifice, then what can be the fault or discrepancy? Then there is all auspiciousness, because you have yourself come and you are the king, or you are the supreme beneficiary of all karma and all yagyas. So that is what how he refutes, that there cannot be any fault or discrepancy in Bali Maharaj's sacrifice. Then in the second verse he says that also, my Lord, even if there are any faults or discrepancies in the chanting of the Vedic mantras or in arranging the paraphernalia for this yajna, or there has been any fault by the Brahmana, he was not very pure or anything like that. But still, wherever your holy name is chanted, all faults or discrepancies are nullified. This is what he establishes in the second verse, Shukracharya. And in the third verse he says to Vamandev, he tells him that, you know, but however it is your order that we nullify the discrepancy or any fault which has happened in the sacrifice, and obedience to your order is all auspicious and it brings the ultimate benefit for the human being. So now Shukracharya is establishing that how obedience to the order of the Lord is the highest which a human form, which a human being should do. And in that purport, Srila Prabhupada says that Shukracharya is saying that obedience to the instructions of the Lord gives the ultimate benefit, and the ultimate benefit is how to get out of the cycle of birth and death. So any order of the Lord which he has given either directly or he has given through the revealed scriptures, if there is obedience by the human being to the order of the Lord, then there will be all auspiciousness in that person's life and he will achieve the ultimate benefit of going back home, back to Godhead and breaking the cycle of repeated birth, disease, old age and death. And in this regard, there is a very nice example we can see in the Bhagavatam. In the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is the pastime of Vritrasura. Now we see in the pastime of Vritrasura how just to obey the order of the Lord, he gave up his life, he sacrificed his body just to obey the order of the Lord. So there was this war happening between Indra and Vritrasura. Vritrasura was very powerful, extremely powerful, and actually the demigods didn't have any capacity to defeat this powerful Asura. So they go and pray to Lord Vishnu, because demigods are after all devotees, although they are mixed devotees. They go and pray to Lord Vishnu that somehow this Vritrasura has been created by his father Tvasta. Now how do we nullify or how do we defeat this Vritrasura? He seems to be completely invincible. And that time the Lord instructs them that all of you demigods, you all go to Dadichi Muni. Dadichi Muni is a very great devotee of mine and his body has become extremely strong by performing austerities to me continuously. So you all ask for his body as a sacrifice and from his bones Vishwakarma will carve out a thunderbolt for you. And only when you use that thunderbolt will you be able to defeat Vritrasura in the battlefield. And then all the demigods actually go to Dadichi Muni. Now can you imagine someone coming and asking, can you please donate your body to me because I want to carve a thunderbolt out of it. But again, Dadichi Muni is a shining example of obedience to the instructions of the Lord. So Dadichi Muni says, initially he jokes with the demigods because he wanted to hear religious principles from the demigods. So he says that, oh, one's body should be protected at any cost and y'all are asking me to sacrifice my body. But later on he says that I know it is the desire of the Supreme Lord Vishnu that I give my body so that y'all can use it to defeat this Vritrasura. And there he says that what is the use of this body when I can use it for someone's good and then ultimately by obeying the instructions of the Lord I can achieve all success and go back to Godhead. Then this body is of no use to me. And then he immediately gives up his body. And then the demigods carve a thunderbolt out of his bones. And they go and they try to kill Vritrasura with that. So we see Dadichi Muni is a shining example of how one sacrifices his body just to obey the instructions of the Lord. And now on the battlefield, there is Vritrasura present. So Vritrasura is also actually a great devotee of the Lord. And he is also knowing that he is going to be defeated. Indra has this thunderbolt which has been carved out of the bones of Dadichi Muni. So he knows he is going to be defeated. But still, he tells Indra that, okay, you fight with me. And he's in a hurry actually to end the fight because he knows his destination is the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. And he tells Indra that, I know I'm going to be defeated, but still you please fight with me so that I can quickly give up this body. And I know it is the desire of the Lord that you win in this battle and not me. And that is what Vritrasura tells Indra on the battlefield. And then, just to obey the instructions of the Lord, he accepts defeat and he goes back to Godhead. So we see how both these personalities, they gave up their bodies, they sacrificed their lives just to obey the instructions of the Lord and just so that the Lord's instructions don't go fail. So another benefit of obeying the instructions of the Lord, or one more reason why we must obey the Lord, is that victory is assured for the person who obeys the Lord. Not only material victory, as Prabhupada says in this purport, but also spiritual victory is assured for the Lord. So we see there are two shining examples in this regard of how there was material as well as spiritual prosperity for the person who obeyed the Lord. And the first shining example is that of Dhruva Maharaj. Now Dhruva Maharaj, he was insulted, we know the pastime, he was insulted by his stepmother. And he vows that he is going to get a kingdom which is greater than his grandfather. And his grandfather is none other than Lord Brahma. So to get a kingdom greater than his grandfather means to get a bigger universe to rule than Lord Brahma. But still with that vow in mind, he goes and does austerities in the forest under the guidance of Narad Muni. And then he has face to face darshan with the Lord. And when he has darshan of the Lord, Dhruva Maharaj realizes that he was just after fake pieces of glass when he got the diamond, which is the darshan of the Lord. And he gives up all desire for material opulence at that time because he is purified by the darshan of the Lord. And he tells the Lord, "My Lord, I don't want anything. I just want devotional service unto you." But the Lord says that because it was your desire initially to get a kingdom greater than the Lord, so I will not fulfill that desire of yours. And the Lord gives him the pole star or an entire planet to rule, which does not even get vanquished when the whole material universe gets vanquished. So this is how the Lord fulfills his material desires also, by giving him an invincible planet. And later on, when Dhruva Maharaj is leaving his body, he goes back to Godhead. So for Dhruva Maharaj, both material as well as spiritual success was ensured by the Lord, by obedience to the Lord. And another example in this regard is that of Arjuna. Now Arjuna also, we know, he initially did not want to fight on the battlefield. He had given up his Gandiva bow. And he said, "It is better to beg and to retire to the forest rather than fighting with my own kith and kin." But that time also the Lord instructs Arjuna to fight. And when Arjuna obeys the instructions of the Lord, not only material victory is assured for him, but also spiritual success is assured for him. So Arjuna, along with his brothers, ruled the planet for many years. And later on, at the end of life, he retired and he went back to Godhead because he was such a nice devotee of the Lord. So we see that by obeying the instructions of the Lord, first of all we get empowerment to achieve success in our life. Also we achieve the ultimate benefit in life of breaking the cycle of birth and death and going back to Godhead. One more benefit of obeying the instructions of the Lord is that victory is assured. Material as well as spiritual success is assured for the people who obey the instructions of the Lord. Also, since we are all full of four defects, in the Ishopanishad it mentions that we are all conditioned souls have four defects in them. And one of the defects is that we are all imperfect. We tend to make mistakes. So then, whose orders do we obey? How can we obey the orders of someone who himself is full of these four defects? Who himself is imperfect? Who himself has cheating propensity? Who himself can get illusion? How can we obey the orders of someone who also falls in that category? And therefore it is important to obey the instructions of the Lord who is a Purusheya. It is mentioned in the Ishopanishad that the Lord is a Purusheya. Any word spoken by the Lord is also a Purusheya. A Purusheya means not of any ordinary Purush of this material world, not of any conditioned soul of this material world. So therefore it is important that we obey the instructions of someone who is a Purusheya and someone who is above these four defects, who is completely perfect. In fact, in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when Uddhava is having a conversation with Lord Krishna, he says that, "Oh my Lord, you are the perfect teacher in this world and only your instruction should be followed by someone who wants to achieve perfection in his life." So that is one more reason why we obey the instructions of the Lord, because he is a Purusheya, he is the complete perfect person and he is above these four defects of conditioned life. Also, following the Lord's instructions can mitigate all miseries in this world. Now we know that when Arjuna was just two chapters away from this chapter, Lord Krishna will actually leave the planet. And Arjuna has gone to Dwarka to find out information about Lord Krishna. And Arjuna comes to know that Lord Krishna has left this planet. And he is full of grief because he is such a pure devotee of the Lord. So Arjuna is full of grief. And he is thinking that, he thinks that for him it is now no longer necessary to live. So while coming back on his way from Dwarka to Hastinapur, where he is coming to give this news to Maharaj Yudhishthir that Krishna has left the planet, Arjuna is completely overwhelmed with grief. But there it is mentioned, Arjuna tells Yudhishthir Maharaj that the only way I can overcome my grief is by remembering the instructions of the Lord which he gave me on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So that means Arjuna was trying to remember the Bhagavad Gita which the Lord spoke to him. So what to say of obeying the orders of the Lord? Just by remembering the instructions of the Lord, one can completely mitigate his material miseries. So whatever instructions the Lord has given, whether it is in the Bhagavad Gita or whether it is in the Bhagavatam through his instructions to various devotees in the Bhagavatam, if one just follows the instructions of the Lord and one just even remembers or the smaranam of the instructions of the Lord, one can achieve complete success and one can mitigate all the miseries, all his suffering and grievances which he is facing. And one more reason why we obey the instructions of the Lord is because Mahajano Yena Dathata Sapanta. All the great souls, all the Mahajans, all the great acharyas follow the instructions of the Lord and they achieve success in their life. So Prabhupada continuously says, if we read Prabhupada's purports, he continuously quotes all the great acharyas. He says Madhavacharya says this, or sometimes he says Ramanujacharya says this, or he says Sridhar Swami says this, or he says even Shankaracharya says this, that you know we follow the instructions of the Lord, or the Lord is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we see wherever Prabhupada is quoting any Shastric statement, he always corroborates that point by quoting all the acharyas. And he says that because they are saying that the Lord is supreme, or because they are saying that the Lord's instructions should be followed, that is why we follow the Lord's instructions. Because our acharyas have said that, because the Mahajans have said that. So that is one more reason we follow the Lord's instructions, because the Mahajans have followed and achieved success. And if we follow in their footsteps, we will also achieve great success. So however, for the residents of Dwarka, it is easy to obey the instructions of the Lord. As they are mentioning over here, that by following in your footsteps, we have become successful. So for the residents, the Lord is personally present on the planet. And the Lord is giving instructions himself. And the residents can actually hear from the Lord and implement those instructions in their lives. But what about for people like us, in front of whom the Lord is not present? The Lord is not personally present in front of us right now. Then what do we do? Whose instructions do we follow? Now it is mentioned in the 5th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Rishabhdev is giving instructions to his 100 sons. And at that time Rishabhdev quotes, he says, Guru na satsyat, svajano na satsyat, pita na satsyat, janani na satsyat, daivam na tatsyan, na patischa satsyan, na mocha yet, ya samopetam mrityum. So he quotes all these personalities and he says that one should not become a guru, a relative, a father, a mother, a worshipable demigod, or a husband if he cannot deliver his dependents from the cycle of birth and death. Samupeta mrityum. If he cannot deliver them from the cycle of death, then one should not take these responsible position, or one should not take these leadership position in society. If he is not acting responsibly and he does not deliver his dependents. So these are the personalities who, if they are properly representing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then their instructions must be followed by people who are dependent on these personalities. The first one is the Guru, the empowered representative or the spiritual master. His instructions should be followed if he is representing the Lord properly or if he is a bona fide spiritual master. The second one are relatives, Svajano. Then Pita, Janani, Pita and Mata. So that means parents. If they are also representing the Supreme Lord properly, then their instructions must be followed by the dependents. Then Daivam, a worshipable demigod. And also Pati, a husband. So if all these personalities are properly representing and carrying forward the instructions of the Lord in their heart and revealing the Lord to their dependents, then the instructions of these people must be followed by people who want to achieve success in their life. But however, in the same purport, Prabhupada quotes that if these personalities who have been vested with this responsibility of delivering their dependents, if they act irresponsibly, then their instruction should be rejected by a person. And in that regard, for every of these personalities, there are examples in the Bhagavatam how their instructions are rejected by their dependents because these personalities were not properly representing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And because these personalities were not doing the job of samupesa mrityu, they were not trying to deliver their dependents from the cycle of death. And in this regard, the first example is of Guru. Now, which Guru told his disciple that, okay, don't follow the Supreme Lord's instructions and was not trying to deliver? So the shining example is of Shukracharya and Bali Maharaj. So Shukracharya actually told Bali Maharaj when Vamandev came, he said, don't give him the three steps of land. I have recognized that he is the Supreme Lord Vishnu in disguise. So please don't give him. He is going to take everything away from you. He is Hari. He takes everything away and he has come here with that purpose. So don't give him anything. And he said that in the name of religion, in fact he quotes some shastra and he says that in that religion, in that shastra it is said that because you didn't say Om before agreeing to give charity, so it's okay, you can go back on your promise. So Shukracharya is trying to devise ways and means by which Bali Maharaj can actually refuse Vamandev. And then Bali Maharaj, who is a great devotee, who is a Mahajan, he knew what are the tenets or what is dharma. And therefore he rejected his guru. He did not obey the instructions of such a guru who was actually leading to his downfall. So that is one example which Prabhupada gives where, you know, the instructions of an authority can be rejected if they are not for the ultimate benefit of the human being. The second example which Prabhupada gives over there is Svajano. So Svajano na sasyat, not following the instructions of not following the instructions of your relatives. And in that regard, Prabhupada gives the example of, you know, which father and which mother whose instructions were not followed because they were not trying to deliver their dependent. So Prabhupada gives the examples of Bharat Maharaj. He says that Bharat Maharaj, Kaikeyi actually sent Lord Ram to the forest for 14 years and she asked for the kingdom for her own son Bharat Maharaj. But when Bharat Maharaj came back from his maternal grandfather's house, he was extremely upset with what his mother had done. It was not that, oh, my mother has obtained the kingdom for me, now I can rule nicely in Lord Ram's absence. No, he was a pure devotee of Lord Ram and therefore he rejected his mother's instructions. As soon as he came, Kaikeyi offered the whole kingdom to him. Kaikeyi told him that now the whole kingdom of Ayodhya is yours to rule and I did that for you because I love you and I want my son to be on the throne. But Bharat Maharaj completely rejects that proposal. And he says that I'm not going to obey your order and I'm not going to sit on this throne because I know Lord Ram has to sit on the throne and he's the only person qualified to rule the kingdom. So in this case, Bharat Maharaj rejected the instructions of his mother. And the personality rejecting the instructions of their father were the four Kumaras. Now in the first canto of Srimad, or in the second canto I think, Lord Brahma has started creating. He has started doing the secondary creation. And now Lord Brahma wants to populate the universe. He has created the various planets. He has created all the facilities in this material universe. And now he wants to populate. So what his first offspring he produces with the purpose that they will populate the whole universe were the four Kumaras. Now as soon as the four Kumaras are produced by Lord Brahma, he tells them that now you'll go and please populate this universe. Create praja for me in this universe. And the four Kumaras reject this instruction of their father. They say that no, because they were Vasudeva Parayana. It is mentioned in that verse. They were Vasudeva Parayana. They were completely dedicated to the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vasudev. And therefore they did not want to get entangled in this cycle of grahasthashram, creating progeny, and they did not want to get entangled in all that affairs of the material world. They just wanted to stay brahmacharis throughout their life and they wanted to dedicate their life to the worship of the Lord. So they reject the instructions of their father. And in that purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, Prabhupada says that if a person is completely dedicated to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and if a person is Vasudeva Parayana, he is a pure devotee of the Lord. Only in that circumstance can such a person reject the instructions of their father. And here the father was not an ordinary conditioned living being. Here the father was Lord Brahma himself. But still Prabhupada said that the four Kumaras were not wrong in rejecting their the instructions of their father, because they were doing that for a higher purpose. They were doing that so that they can get the ultimate benefit of not getting entangled and staying fixed in their devotional service to the Lord. So that is one case where the instructions of the Swajano or the relative, the father or the mother, could be rejected because they wanted to achieve something higher in life. Now, where somebody rejected the instructions of the husband, so Patina Sasyas also it says that one should not become a husband if he cannot deliver his wife or his dependents. So that there the shining example is of the Brahmana's wives, the Brahma Patnis, who are mentioned in the Krishna book. So we know that Krishna and Balaram were very hungry. They were playing in the forest nearby. And all these yagyik Brahmanas, they were doing big sacrifices. And Krishna Balaram sent their friends to the yagyik Brahmanas, that you all please go and ask for some prasadam. We are feeling very hungry. And the Krishna and Balaram's friends, all the cowherd boys, come back disappointed. They tell Krishna Balaram that we went to these Brahmanas, but they did not even hear our request, what to speak of giving us food. They were so busy in performing their ritualistic sacrifice, they did not even pay heed to our request of food. So then Krishna and Balaram tell the boys that now you all please go to the wives of the Brahmanas. And these wives of the Brahmanas are our pure devotees, and they will definitely give food to you. So when now Krishna and Balaram's friends go to the wives of the Brahmanas, the wives of the Brahmanas have never even met Krishna Balaram. They had just heard about their glories from all the villagers who used to come from Vrindavan regularly, from the flower like garland maker, flower seller, from all these ladies they had heard about the glories of Krishna and Balaram. And just by hearing, their hearts were so full of love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead that they just rushed with all the foodstuffs to Krishna and Balaram. They heard that, oh, the Lord is hungry from these boys. And without hesitating for a moment, they rushed with all the food. And while they were going towards Krishna with all the food, their husbands actually tried to stop them. Even their sons, all of them tried to stop them that, no, don't go. The sacrifice is not over yet. Only after the sacrifice is over and we have to give the oblations to Vishnu, then we can partake of this food. And where you are running with this food to give to some ordinary boys, cowherd boys? But they did not pay heed to their husbands. They did not pay heed to their sons. They just rushed and they went to where Krishna and Balaram were playing in the forest. And they gave all the foodstuffs to Krishna and Balaram. Because these yagnik patnis, they knew what is the goal of all these sacrifices which were being done. They knew that Krishna is the Yagneshwara. He is the ultimate beneficiary of all these sacrifices. Then what is the use of waiting till the sacrifice gets over and then offering oblations to Vishnu and all? What is the use of all that? They knew that, if Krishna is satisfied, the whole yagya is successful. So with that purpose in mind, they went and they rejected the instructions of their husbands. So Prabhupada says that in these cases, one can reject the instructions or one can disobey the instructions of their authorities. Because they were not trying to deliver their dependents. They were not trying to show the right path to their dependents. They were not trying to take their dependents towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead or towards devotional service of the Lord. And in such cases, one can definitely reject the instructions of these personalities. But it is not that Srila Prabhupada was for whimsical rejection of obeying the instructions of parents or superiors. Prabhupada actually used to encourage his disciples to follow or to respect their mothers and fathers. In fact, once when Brahmananda Prabhu, I think when he was getting initiated, his mother was also present. And Prabhupada tells Brahmananda Prabhu that you go and touch your mother's feet. Please take her blessings because she has given you birth in this world. So you take her blessings. And in this way, Prabhupada always used to encourage to obey the superiors or to obey the mother and father. In fact, there is one very nice example of a disciple of Prabhupada named Bharadwaj Prabhu. Now, I think Prabhupada was trying to arrange the marriage of Bharadwaj Prabhu. Like, Prabhupada used to do this for his disciples, to arrange their marriages so that they are nicely established in Grahasthashram. And Bharadwaj Prabhu's mother, she wrote a letter to Bharadwaj Prabhu or to Prabhupada saying that, please don't get him married. He is actually insane. When I come there, I will explain everything to you, but please don't get him married. He is insane and he is not fit for marriage. So Bharadwaj Prabhu took that letter to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was a bit surprised on reading that letter and he was laughing. And he asked Bharadwaj Prabhu, He said, "Are you actually insane? Are you really insane?" he asked. And Bharadwaj Prabhu said, "No, Prabhuji, no, Prabhupada, I don't think so, I'm insane." And then Bharadwaj Prabhu said, "I think my mother is insane to write like this." But Prabhupada actually did not like this remark from Bharadwaj Prabhu's mouth. Prabhupada was always, you know, for the Vedic custom of respecting your elders, of respecting your mother and father. And Prabhupada said, "It is not good for you to speak like this about your mother, to call your mother who has given you birth as insane." So Prabhupada did not take that remark very nicely. So Prabhupada always used to stress that we must follow the instructions of our superiors, or we must follow the instructions of our elders, provided those instructions are not contrary to the principles of Krishna consciousness. So if they are not contrary to the principles of Krishna consciousness, then why not obey your elders, or why not obey your superiors? Because by obeying the superiors, or by obeying the instructions of your elders, we will at least get into the habit of obedience. We will get into that, nature will come to us that these are my authority, or these are my superiors, or these are my parents, and I must obey their instructions. That unnecessary rebellious attitude will not stay inside us. And we see nowadays in Kali Yuga, especially in the Western culture, we see with the younger generation that nobody likes to obey the instructions of elders. In fact, they just want to reject, or whatever elders say is taboo and we should not follow that. We should not follow the instructions of elders. That is the culture which is prevalent in society today. But Prabhupada was totally against that culture. Prabhupada said that no, follow the instructions of your mother and father. Follow the instructions of your superior till they are not contrary to your Krishna consciousness. No harm in obeying them. Because this will get you into the habit of obeying your superiors, and one day that will get you into the habit of obeying the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or obeying your spiritual master. Only then will this subservient attitude come of obeying someone's instructions. If you keep rebelling, or if you keep revolting, "Oh, I should not obey, I should not obey," then it will be very difficult to obey the instructions of the Supreme Lord. And Prabhupada says here that the first order to follow is always to follow the order of your Guru. That is the first order one must follow, and then you follow the orders of everybody else. Once you have a spiritual master, that is your primemost duty, or he should be the priority in your life. So if there is a conflict that, "Oh, whose instructions should I follow? These are my parents, they are giving me these instructions, but my guru is giving the contradictory instruction." So once you have accepted a bona fide spiritual master, then Prabhupada says that the first priority is follow the instructions of your Guru Maharaj. And in this regard, there is a very nice pastime with Yogeshwar Prabhu had with Srila Prabhupada. So Yogeshwar Prabhu was a disciple of Srila Prabhupada. And once on a morning walk, he told Srila Prabhupada that, "Prabhupada, many of your disciples are complaining that we don't get any intimate association of Prabhupada. And it is a fact that, you know, after I think 1970 or 71, people did not get much intimate association of Prabhupada, because the disciples, number of disciples and number of centers had increased." So this Yogeshwar Prabhu told Prabhupada that, "I am receiving complaints from many disciples that Prabhupada is always globe-trotting. He is always traveling all around the world, and we never get much intimate association of Prabhupada." So Prabhupada asked Yogeshwar Prabhu that, "What did you reply to them?" And Yogeshwar Prabhu said, "Oh, I told them, Prabhupada, that all your instructions are there in books. Then why do you need intimate association of Prabhupada? You can associate with Prabhupada by following his instructions from his books." And Prabhupada then told Yogeshwar Prabhu. Prabhupada said that, "You ask all of them that, are they all chanting 16 rounds regularly?" Because the movement was quite new at that time. And you know, there were not many people who were even chanting 16 rounds. They were not even established in that vow. So Prabhupada said, "Ask all of them whether they are chanting 16 rounds regularly. Ask all of them if they are following the four regulative principles properly. And if they say yes to that, then only there is question of intimacy." So Prabhupada was trying to establish over there. Prabhupada was telling Yogeshwar Prabhu that first let them follow these basic instructions. Let them obey these basic instructions of your Guru Maharaj. And then they can talk about higher intimacy or having some intimate relationship with me. If there is no basic obedience to my instructions, and that too the basic instructions that are given, then where is the question of intimacy with me? So Prabhupada was always for that. Obey the instructions of the Guru, and then only you can think of any intimacy or having any personal association of your Guru Maharaj. And Prabhupada always stressed that the priority is to follow Guru Maharaj's instructions follow his basic instructions properly, and then only you think of personal association with him, and also follow the instructions of the Guru as it is, or as he has given, or as he has desired, or not how you have devised your Guru Maharaj's instructions to be. And we see this tendency to be there too much in Kali Yuga. People try to adjust the instructions of their Guru Maharaj, or people try to conveniently devise some instruction which suits their lifestyle. And we see this many times. Guru has given some instruction, but the disciple does not follow it. No. Guru Maharaj meant like this, or Guru Maharaj meant like that, or this is the way it suits me. So, you know, somehow the mind tricks, and they conveniently adjust the instruction to suit their lifestyle. And in this regard, there is a very nice, humorous anecdote. There was a disciple of Srila Prabhupada called Nanda Kumar. And once he served Srila Prabhupada boysenberries. Now, you know, in summer we also get boysenberries here in the market. So Prabhupada really loved these berries. Prabhupada had never eaten boysenberries before. So Prabhupada asked Nanda Kumar Prabhu that, "Oh, what are these berries?" And Nanda Kumar Prabhu said, Prabhupada, these are boysenberries. So Prabhupada said, "What are they called?" And he said, "Boysenberries." And Prabhupada said, "Oh, poisonberries." And Nanda Kumar Prabhu said, No, these are called boysenberries." So then Prabhupada was laughing, "Oh, poisonberries." He kept, you know, saying poisonberries. But he said, "The berries are very nice. Prabhupada liked the berries." And then Nanda Kumar Prabhu went and just narrated this incident to few other disciples in the kitchen, that today I was serving Prabhupada boysenberries, and Prabhupada kept calling them poisonberries. Then after a few days, Nanda Kumar Prabhu went to the kitchen and there were some more boysenberries someone had brought. So he wanted to take them to Srila Prabhupada because he knew Prabhupada liked them on the last occasion. So as soon as he started taking them, there was a Mataji who was present in the kitchen. And he said that, no, don't take these berries for Prabhupada because Prabhupada has said these are poisonberries. So then Nanda Kumar Prabhu was shocked. He said that, see how, you know, the whole thing has got twisted. What Prabhupada said got completely twisted. So then he went to Prabhupada and he narrated it to Prabhupada. He said, "Prabhupada, you remember I had given you boysenberries and you just jokingly called them as poisonberries. And now when I'm trying to serve you the boysenberries, the devotees have started spreading rumors that we should not have these berries and they should never be served to Prabhupada because these are poisonberries." And Prabhupada started laughing. But then Prabhupada gave instruction on a grave note. Prabhupada said that, you know, these people, they will keep concocting whatever I have said. And they will say, "Prabhupada has said this and Prabhupada has said that. We should not do like this because Prabhupada has said like this. Or we should not do that because Prabhupada has said that." So he said, people will keep concocting and people will keep devising their own additions to my instructions. But he said that whatever instructions I have given are there clearly in my books. And I want people to clearly follow those instructions without trying to, you know, devise or without trying to add on to their own purports to my instructions, like in the case of poison berries. So Prabhupada was very much against anybody trying to adjust his instructions or anybody trying to concoct his instructions. So Prabhupada said that success can be achieved only if the disciple completely obeys the instructions of the Lord and he completely adheres without deviating from the instructions of the Lord. So that was Prabhupada's move, that follow the instructions of superiors so that we get into the habit of following the instructions of the Lord one day, and we get into the habit of following the instructions of our Guru one day. And by following these instructions or by obeying these instructions which the Lord has given directly or which the Lord has revealed in the scriptures or which the Lord's representatives are giving to us, then only ultimate benefit can be achieved in the human form of life, of breaking the cycle of birth, disease, old age and death, and going back to Godhead in this lifetime itself. So we'll end here and we'll ask if there are any questions or comments or corrections.
This thing where we have the right to reject the authority or I was thinking in the beginning when we come, we're learning to be servants. We're learning to be like a servant and take instruction. I know we want to be master sometimes, but how do we discern then what's good instruction and what's bad instruction in the beginning when we're learning to be a servant and serve him?
You mean practical instructions or?
Yeah.
So, So, Prabhupada always mentions that in spiritual life there are two aspects. There is one aspect of Shiksha and there is an aspect of Diksha. So, Prabhupada always laid great emphasis on Siksha, or following your Siksha Gurus, or following the advice given by your Siksha Guru. Because Diksha Guru will come only once in a while to the temple, or he may, you know, because Diksha Gurus are usually traveling, or the person who gave you initiation, they are usually traveling. So our Diksha Gurus come only once, maybe in a year or twice a year to the temple, or they don't even come to this side and we have to go and get their association. So it's very rare to get direct instructions from a Diksha Guru. And that is why in our Sampradaya there is so much stress on Siksha. Ours is actually a Siksha lineage. So therefore it is very important that we have proper Siksha Gurus within our local temple. Because a Diksha Guru might not be visiting our temple very often. And we have someone who is in a senior position and who himself is an established devotee. And once we have someone like that as a Siksha Guru, and then if we get instructions from that person, then we can rest assured that those instructions are for our spiritual benefit and they will lead us on the right path. And then it is very easy to follow the instructions of such a Siksha Guru, who himself is an established devotee, who himself is following the instructions of his guru, or who himself also has a Siksha Guru in the temple or in the local area. So that is why this parampara of Siksha is there, that, you know, every person is taking Siksha from a higher authority. He is not acting based on his own whims and or his own concoctions or his own whatever his mind is telling. In fact, Tamal Krishna Maharaj often says that I do not trust any single mind, including my own. So there is, you know, he always says that I don't rely on my own single mind. I always take Siksha, or I always consult my God brothers. So similarly for us also, we have so many senior devotees in the congregation. So we consult them. And if you feel there is a contradiction, then we can always go to a higher authority and consult him, or we can write to a Diksha Guru and consult him. But if we have a proper Siksha Guru in our life who is guiding us nicely, then there won't be any contradictions in the instructions which they are giving, and then we can with full faith follow the instructions of such a Siksha Guru. Anything else? Grantraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.